We're in a sermon series called Real Love. It's taking us through the book of 1 John, and we'll be in 1 John chapter 2 in just a few minutes. If you'd like to turn there, way toward the back of your Bible or tap there on your screen, however you want to get to 1 John chapter 2. Do you believe in the concept or the idea of absolute truth? In other words, truth that some things are true whether you believe them or not or anyone else believes them or not. So they're true outside of anyone's opinion or feelings. You know, even though there are some people that say there is no absolute truth, they actually do believe in absolute truth, because by saying they don't believe in absolute truth, they've just stated an absolute truth. You can talk about that paradox on the way home from church today. Truth is not always easy to accept. Even God's truth, it's not always easy to accept or understand. It's sometimes hard to accept. Here's a situation or example. If you've had someone close to you die, and especially if it was one of those you just got a call out of the blue and you didn't even know, and they were young, hadn't been sick or anything, and you get that call. Some of you have had that. I've had a couple of calls like that, actually. And your mind heard the words, but your mind also says, there must be some mistake. You know, at first, some of you have gone through this. There must be a mistake. There's a mix-up or something. They're going to come walking through the door, and this can't possibly be true. And that feeling carries on for a while, depending on how close you are or were to the person. You have a hard time accepting the truth, even though their death was true. It happened. I'm going to do a flyover of our scriptures today, and then we'll go back and look at them more closely. So I'll be in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, and I'll read through verse 27. Today, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. That'll be on the screens as well if you want to follow along that way. So we're going to read through all the verses. Dear children, the last hour is here. You may have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved they did not belong with us. But you're not like that, for the Holy One has given you His Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So, I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is the liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an Antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have a Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So, you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life He promised us. I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you. So you don't really need anyone to teach you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as He has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Do you believe that gravity is true? If you think gravity is true, say, I do. Okay, a lot of people believe gravity. You awake? Okay. If someone came along and said, well, I don't believe gravity is true. I think it's an illusion. I think it's someone else. There's some other explanation, but gravity is not real. Would you still believe that gravity is true? Okay, I need a volunteer. Let's see. Who do we have going into middle school this year? So you're almost done with fifth grade, and you're going to go to sixth grade. Somebody that's our middle school, or anybody wants to volunteer, come down. Somebody up? Where are you pointing? Where? Here? All right, come on down. Where? Oh, Logan's coming. Oh, Logan can handle it. I know he can. All right, Logan, did you come down here? This is my rubber band ball. I know you've seen it before. But we haven't set anything up, right? This is first you knew of this, right? Not of the ball, but this situation here. Now, what I need you to do for this illustration, Logan, is pretend you don't believe gravity is true. You're just like, no way is it true. Until we get to a point where you cannot deny it anymore, and I promise you'll know when that happens. I'm not going to hurt you or embarrass you or anything like that. I better not. All right. His parents are like, what is he doing with him? All right. This is my rubber band ball. It's about 23, 24 years old. I made it. It's rubber bands all the way to the center. There's nothing in there. It's not a golf ball in the middle or anything else. You want to pick it up here? It weighs, I haven't weighed it in years, but I know it weighs over 20 pounds, so probably 25 or something. So I'm going, okay, do you believe in gravity?
No.
You don't believe in gravity? Come on, man. Everybody here believes in gravity.
Well, I don't.
You don't. All right. Well, I'm going to prove to you, brother, that gravity is true. Ready? See this? Not everybody can see it, but I've got an empty can down there. I'm going to see what this does. Nice. Flat can. I love doing that. Now do you believe gravity is true? No? Okay. Just so you know, I didn't trick you or have a... You can look at the can if you want, but you could drop it on the can. Just watch your feet. Nice. Flattened. Perfect. All right. Do you believe gravity is true? No, you don't. Not yet. I should have set this up with it. All right, you still don't believe gravity is true? Okay, lay down on the floor. I'm going to drop this on your head. No. Oh, you believe gravity is true now. All right. Thanks, Logan. Appreciate it. Yeah, you can clap for him. Some things are true, regardless if we believe them or not. And there are people out there that don't believe gravity is true. They say it's an illusion or some other explanation for it. Maybe you know this, and maybe you don't, but science cannot fully explain gravity. They believe in it, but they can't fully explain it. It's really strange because gravity is just kind of a basic thing, and science does not understand that. And so many people, science explains everything. No, it doesn't. It doesn't explain gravity. Newton worked on it. Einstein worked at figuring it out. It's part of his theory of relativity. Still today, there are people that are a lot smarter than me working in quantum physics trying to figure out a formula that explains gravity, and they haven't got there yet. They still debate on how it works or why it works. One of the big things that science can't explain is why does gravity only pull toward itself when every other force in the universe has an opposite effect? Why is gravity so weak compared with the mass of the Earth? Why is it so weak, for that matter, in comparison with the mass of all the planets of the solar system? Do you know that just a little bit more gravity, or just a tiny bit less, and life could not be sustained on this planet? You couldn't live here. We would not be alive. So gravity's not fully understood, but still, is there anyone here that believes gravity does not exist? I think we all do. Let's go back and look at these verses now more closely. Verse 18, "Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know the last hour has come." When he addresses his recipients as dear children, he's referring to people he knows, he has relationship with, other believers. God made sure that 1 John made it into the scripture, so he's addressing us as well. Dear children, we have a relationship spiritually speaking. When he says the last hours, that's just another way of saying the last days, the end times, and that we're in the end times from the time Jesus ascended into heaven until he comes back for us, and he will come back for us. Those are the end times. We're not in the end of the end times. And we've all heard the term Antichrist. Maybe you've read it in Revelation or a couple other places in the scripture. And when we hear the word Antichrist, we think of the Antichrist, which will appear. We think of the end times, like the end of the end times. And there will be an Antichrist whenever that happens. I don't know when it is. And it will be a man. He will be somewhat or maybe fully controlled by Satan. And he will have some limited miraculous powers. And many, many people will be deceived by this person and follow him. But John says, yeah, you've heard the Antichrist. Already there are Antichrists that have already appeared. So they had them in the early church. Now, look at the very next verse. We'll see what John is talking about in just a minute. "These people left our churches." but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. The they in this verse is referring to the antichrists in the previous verse. People that on the outside, they appeared to be part of the body of Christ. They knew how to talk. They just seemed like another Christian, but they left. And we're not talking about whether they left to go to another church because they got married or wanted to move or they were unhappy with their church for some reason, but they left the body of Christ completely. And they're no longer a follower of Christ, no longer claiming to be. And John says, well, they never were in the first place. Then verse 20, but you're not like that. You're not like that. You, dear children, you're not like that. For the Holy One has given you his Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So John is reminding us of some things. He's encouraging us here. If you are a person that sincerely wants to follow Jesus, you've confessed your sins and confessed him as Lord, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has revealed truth to you. You know the truth about the risen Christ. Hang on to that truth. Hang on to it. And hang on to the truth of God's word, no matter what. The encouragement continues in verse 21. So, I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. When we're talking about truth, you can't have lies mixed in with truth or it's no longer the truth anymore. And there's some folks that are very good at that. For instance, Jesus either rose from the dead or he didn't. There's not a maybe, and I've read all sorts of things over the years about trying to explain why he didn't really die. He was in some sort of coma or suspended animation, and so he didn't really rise from the dead. It just looked like it to people. I've heard all that stuff before. You can't get a maybe. Either he was dead or he wasn't, and either he rose from the grave or he didn't. There's just no maybe to that. I have no doubt personally that Jesus rose from the dead, and I know many of you would agree with that as well. The guy who raises from the dead gets to decide what truth is, not me and not you. And his truth is absolute. It doesn't need you or me or anyone else to believe in it in order to make it true. Absolute truth exists out of every belief system in the world, including your personal belief system. It's true outside of that. And by the way, if you have not decided to be a follower of Jesus, keep coming. You found the right church. This is where you need to be. If you have doubts, and even if you are a believer in Jesus and you struggle with some doubts, you're in the right place. Be here in 2 weeks. I mentioned Easter Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday. And the message that week is going to be called Doubters Welcome. So you're welcome. If you're a doubter, come on to Bethel. Those of us that are followers of Jesus, we claim him as Lord. We are in a love-based relationship with him. He loved us before we were born. And once we were born and we were able to respond to his offer, he chose us out of the world. He calls us out of the world and into his kingdom. We are to love him back. That's how it's supposed to work. That's what naturally should happen. We love him back for all the things that he's done for us. And part of loving him back is believing the truth that is laid out in his word. Even when the truth is not convenient. Even when the truth is hard to accept. Even when the truth goes up against the culture or feelings or maybe what you learned growing up. Even maybe if you learned some bad teaching in the church growing up. It's true. What God says is still true and it always will be true. And real love means believing the truth, God's truth. It doesn't mean you don't use your mind. It doesn't mean you can't use reasoning and discernment because God gave us those things. God gave you your mind. But it's seen through reasoning and discernment, and all of that is seen through the lens of the Word of God, the Bible. Gravity does not need your okay to be true. All absolute truth doesn't need your okay to be true. It's true with or without your okay. The Bible claims to be God's word, like his word, what he breathed out and had people write down. It's God's word. I agree with that. Now, that claim is either true or it is not, and everybody has to decide that for themselves. Is that true or not? Is it God's word, or is it just a collection of old books and things that we look at? You can't take parts of the word of God and ignore the rest of it. And there are plenty, even as believers, that we choose to ignore in the Word of God. I'll hit that in a sermon series in a couple of months. There is one way to know. I think I missed. Bring up 22, will you? There we go. Thank you. Yeah, 22. Somehow I missed that. Okay, it says, who is the liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ, anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. There is a plain statement. I've got it highlighted there. You want to know what's false? Anyone that denies Jesus. A lying antichrist is what John calls them. Sometimes it's easy to spot who is denying Jesus, and it's very obvious to us. Islam denies Jesus as Lord. They talk about Jesus, but they only say he was a prophet. Buddhism doesn't recognize Jesus as who he said he was. Taoism, tribal religions, Hinduism, all of them, long list of them, they deny Jesus. They deny the Father, and they deny the Son. And then sometimes it's hard to discern. It gets a little murkier. For instance, Mormons talk about Jesus. His name is in the full name of their church, but they deny the deity of Jesus. They say that he is not God himself. And that's a false teaching. That's a lie. Jehovah's Witness kind of came to a similar conclusion. They reject the Trinity. They don't believe that Jesus is God. It's false teaching. It's a lie. The Unity Movement, particularly the Unitarian Church, they deny that Jesus is the only way to the Father and to heaven. Jesus himself claimed he was. That's false teaching. It's a lie. Now, all of those people, and maybe some others, they might make great neighbors. They may be very moral, nice people. You enjoy their company. They're nice to talk to. But they're not part of the body of Christ because they deny who Jesus claimed to be. Keep that verse in mind. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. It may sound harsh, but it's truth. The next two verses drive the point home. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. If you deny Jesus in any way, or someone denies Jesus in some way and doesn't give him fully what the Bible and what he himself claimed about himself, the Bible said you don't have God in your life. That's just, you may talk about God, you may think about God, but you don't really have him in your life. You're not connected, you're not in a relationship with him. Then John goes on to say in verse 24, it's still up there, that we are to remain faithful to what we've been taught about Jesus. We remain faithful because God never changes. Truth never changes. Culture changes, absolutely. The way we engage the culture as the body of Christ absolutely changes. But God's truth never, ever changes for any reason. Social norms have changed quite a bit in the last few decades and even in the last several years. There are many things that were once called normal that are now unthinkable not that long ago. And I'm not trying to pick on any group or anything like that and say that, well, this is worse than something else, but this is kind of something in the news that's been around lately, last few years. How we respond to those who are confused about their gender identity. How do we respond to that? Well, Jesus himself affirmed that God made people male and female. Jesus quoted from Genesis and affirmed that God made them male, female, nothing else. And the guy who rose from the dead gets to say what that is. I don't. We don't get to redefine that, even though our culture seems to be wanting to do that. Now, as believers, we should respond with compassion to folks. I'm not saying there aren't people that have confusion about their gender, but mutilating the body that God gave them, it's not the answer. Because God never changes, truth never changes. Part of loving Jesus is believing his truth, regardless of what the culture says and regardless of maybe what we've even bought into before and how we may feel. And then in verse 25, short verse, and in this fellowship we enjoy the eternal life he promised us. Eternal life. And eternal life is eternal life. It's a life without end. And we think of heaven, oh, I'm going to have eternal life one day. And that's not wrong to think of. We think of when we die, we're going to go be with Jesus. But remember, your eternal life begins the moment you trust Jesus and confess your sins to him. At that moment, your eternal life began. You weren't going to, you're not going to die anymore after that moment. And if you don't have Jesus yet, you can have that eternal life. Anybody that wants to ask, I'd be glad to talk with you sometime. Let's look at verse 26. I am writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. There are many people in the world that want to lead you astray. The Bible says they want to. Some versions say they're trying to. Some are very obvious. It's like, you're trying to pull me away from God. That's not godly. Some things are much more subtle, right? And we have to watch who we spend time with, what we allow into our homes. This was a problem in the early church. It's never been different. It still is a problem. There are people that want to lure you away or carry you away from God's truth. We need to take John's warning and all his warnings in the book of 1 John seriously. We need to be on the lookout for falsehood. We need to be on the lookout for unbiblical teaching, which sometimes warms into churches. We need to be on the lookout for things that would pull us away from Jesus and the relationship that he wants with us. Now look at the first part of verse 27. I'm going to save the last part for a minute to read in a minute. First part of 27 says this, "But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie." Remember that when you confessed Jesus as Lord, accepted that free gift of salvation, you received the Holy Spirit. You may have had a reaction to that and felt that. You might have not felt a thing. The Holy Spirit, who is equally God with the Father and the Son, lives inside you if you know Jesus. I don't know how that works. I can't explain how can the Holy Spirit live in me and in each of you that are believers and all the believers around the world, millions and millions. I don't know how it works, but I know it's true because the Bible teaches it to be true, that the Holy Spirit lives inside you. Do you call on the Holy Spirit? Do you think about him sometimes? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who will teach you what is true. Don't just take my word for it. I want to represent the truth well in God's word, but don't take my word for it. Don't take the word of some famous speaker or some pastor or a writer. Read the truth for yourself, which is in your Bible, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you in his word and how you are supposed to apply that in your individual life. The only truth I know was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. I can't claim to know the truth on my own. Jesus is the truth, and he's revealed his truth to me. But one thing I can do is point you to the one who knows the truth. I can point you to the one who rose from the dead. I can point you to the one who calls you to follow him. I can point to the one who reveals absolute truth to you. I can point you to the one who is absolute truth. He is the embodiment of truth, the Logos, the Word. That's who Jesus is. Last week, I shared just three verses right before the verses we read today. And in those verses, there was talk about how the world will pull you away from God. And I mentioned the world lies. It is very, very good at lying. Most of it's very subtle. And John's saying, don't listen to the world. Don't listen to the world. It's hard. This is easier to preach than it is to go out and live, right? So don't buy into the lies of the world. Instead, believe the truth of Jesus Christ. And then take this final bit of encouragement from John in the very last section of verse 27. Last sentence says, so just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. And I've got that highlighted. Remain in fellowship with Christ. Stick with him. Don't let anybody get you off the course. God wants us to remain in true fellowship, it's a relationship with him, and not to get off what he wants us to do. He wants that for this life, and it carries on into the next life. We need to all read the Bible and do what it says. Real love, loving Jesus, real love means believing the truth no matter what. Now, similar to what I've led us in the last couple of weeks, I want to take some short ministry time, very short. Is there a truth in God's word that you're having trouble with? Not how I interpret it or anybody else, but a truth in God's word that you're having trouble believing fully. And first of all, it's okay. You're not turning away from Jesus. You're just struggling with something. That's all right. So if there's one of those things, or the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind in just a moment, tell God about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you reveal more truth to you. So what do you need to tell him? What do you need to tell God today? You can be honest with him. I'll give you 30 seconds. I'll pay attention to the time, and then I will pray at the end of that. So let's do that now. If there's something you struggle with in the Word of God, you can't quite resolve it in your mind, look, you're not the only one. And if you'd like to talk about that, I promise I'll hear it in compassion and understanding, but I would love to talk with you about that if you want to bounce it off someone. Father, we pray for each other. We look to you. Reveal your truth to us. Lord, the unvarnished truth, not that has come through tradition or religions or false teaching or whatever it is, but your truth, Lord. Reveal it to us. Help us to live it. Help us to accept it, even when it's hard. I thank you for all my friends here today. I pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen.